Today's gospel gives us another instruction on the mysterious world of spirits. It's not the first time we've heard of this. 2 weeks ago, we were celebrating the archangels. We spoke a little bit about the spiritual battle. Just last week, in one of the gospels, we heard Jesus say to the 72 who were rejoicing at their power over demons, he said, "I saw Satan fall to the earth like lightning." And then in today's gospel, he speaks a lot about the conflict between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. Now, this is important territory, but mysterious to us and hard to get straight. You know, in the world, people don't think about these things very much, or they don't think very clearly about them. If you were to make a quick review of the history of the 20th century, you'd hear all about World War I and World War II and the Atomic Age and Age of Information and all the rise of the totalitarian states and communism, and you know, there's a lot that happened in the 20th century. But you probably wouldn't hear about Our Lady of Fatima and the miracle of the sun. Today's October 13. It's the anniversary of the famous, at least in the Catholic world, famous miracle of the sun, witnessed by some 70,000 people. But it's not in any history books, or very few. You see, because people are not used to giving spiritual interpretations of historical events or of seemingly natural developments. There's always an explanation, or so it seems. But if you go back to the message of Our Lady of Fatima, who appeared on the 13th of May, and then almost on the 13th of every month for 6 months, you know that she spoke a lot about the presence of, or the work of God in historical events. She spoke about the war, she spoke about another war that would come, meaning World War II. She revealed to these little illiterate shepherd children mysteries of how God is at work, even giving them a vision of hell, talking to them about what would happen to the Holy Father, and a lot of territory which is completely ignored or misunderstood by the world. So that's why an instruction like this. I just mentioned Fatima because today's October 13, and it's not liturgically the feast of Our Lady of Fatima. The liturgical feast of Our Lady of Fatima is May 13th, but still, it is the anniversary of the miracle of the sun, and that was such a dramatic event, a dramatic supernatural event, that we can't help but think of it when we're talking about supernatural conflicts. But if you read the accounts of that miracle of the sun, you know that the eyewitnesses themselves didn't all agree on what they saw. People saw different things. And they interpreted it differently. Some thought it was the end of the world. Some were moved to conversion. Some just thought it was an unusual weather pattern, cosmic phenomenon. So all kinds of disagreements. Anyway, let's look at this gospel. Jesus has just driven out a demon from a mute man. We didn't read that part. It's the verse right before this gospel. The man couldn't speak. Jesus drove out the demon, and then the man could speak, and the people were amazed. Another amazing miracle of the Lord. Now, again, modern interpretation would be some natural healing, or perhaps it was a psychological disorder in the first place, and maybe Jesus gave him some confidence to be able to try speaking, and it worked. And you know, whenever people believe or are convinced that there's no supernatural explanation, they'll come up with something. Or else they'll say, we just don't know. But the scriptures say that this man's mute condition was caused by a demon, and Jesus drove out the demon, and now he could speak. And the people were amazed by it. But this is where today's gospel picks up. Some of the people in the crowd said, well, this guy Jesus, who's doing obviously supernatural things, must be using the power of evil to do this. He is using the power of Beelzebul, the prince of demons. Now, Jesus could easily have said, you don't know what you're talking about. Or he could have ignored them. Or he could have given them a very simple explanation of what happened. But instead, he gives a very developed description of the whole spirit world and how it works. And he talks about a kingdom divided against itself doesn't stand, so we can't be talking about evil working against evil. That doesn't make sense. What we're really talking about is the kingdom of God invading the territory that was controlled by the kingdom of evil, kingdom of Satan. And that's what's happening. There was a strong man guarding his palace, and a someone stronger has come along. He's talking, Jesus talking about himself, someone stronger who overpowers him. And then Jesus gives this explanation of what happens when an unclean spirit is driven out. He roams all around, looking for a place to hang out. Finally goes back to where he came from. He finds it's better than it was before. He gets seven other evil spirits, more wicked than itself, and then they all move in, and the last condition of that man is worse than the first. Now, we read that and we say, wow, we don't really know what's going on the level of the spiritual life. But we're not aware of how spirits interact with each other and how it's possible for someone who has taken a step forward to end up worse if he doesn't fill his house with the will of God. So however we are to understand this, and again, we're talking about mysterious stuff, it's clear that we're in a battlefield. That there are opposing forces. It doesn't make sense to attribute to Jesus the work of evil, because evil doesn't do good. Judge a tree by its fruits. But it doesn't make sense either to think that once evil is driven out, now everything's fine. Evil spirits don't give up. Now, we don't know why one spirit would get seven other spirits, because they don't get along with each other either. You know, evil spirits are not, they're united by force and by fear. They're not united in love. They don't really cooperate the way we would think of people getting along and when working together. But in any case, it's certainly true that the condition of the man Jesus mentions here is worse than it was before. And I think this gives us an explanation of why things decline the way they do in history. I mentioned the 20th century. A lot of people have pointed out that the 20th century was the most brutal, most deadly century in the history of mankind. Well, now, here we are in the 21st century, and we would have thought we had learned our lesson from the 20th century. Apparently not. Wars, wars, wars. Terrorism, violence. It's as if we don't learn our lesson. It's as if we don't get better. Why is it? Well, part of the explanation is we have enemies who are intent on making things worse. However we can understand it, this is certainly true. We have enemies, spiritual enemies, who are intent on making things worse. That doesn't mean we have to despair or live in fear, but we can't leave our house empty either. We can't live in neutral territory. We're on a battlefield. And if we're not under the protection of God, of Jesus Christ, of his angels, well then we're vulnerable to being influenced by evil spirits without even necessarily knowing it. We just think we're living our normal life, doing our usual thing, and we're leaving an empty space, all clean and swept and put in order, just waiting around to be filled up with some malevolent force. So the idea here is to be clear that we're talking about a conflict of kingdoms, and so our responsibility is to place ourselves under the kingship of Jesus Christ. just, was it 2 days ago, we learned again, or studied again, the Lord's Prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, your kingdom come. Our Father who art in heaven, your kingdom come. We're talking about the kingdom of God. We want it to come. We want God to reign in our lives, and that's the right thing. And if we don't do that, if we don't invite God in, if we don't give him space, if we don't freely yield ourselves to the will of God, well then, who knows? Who knows what is lurking around to move in? It's foolish on a battlefield to not remain under the protection of the stronger force. That's Jesus Christ, one stronger than he. It's foolish, because we ourselves are not very strong, and we have enemies who are far stronger than we are. Jesus has come to drive out the strong man and take away the armor on which he relied. We don't have to fear the evil that reigns in the world. We don't have to fear that the obvious decline in certain historical movements, because we're not just children of this world. We don't belong here on this battlefield forever. We are on a pilgrimage to the kingdom, to eternal life, and we place ourselves under the protection of God. So with confidence in God, with joy in his victory over evil, with free submission to the power of God at work in us and through us, we continue to go forward as we journey through this valley of tears.